All right. Thank you so much, everyone, and especially for the children. And I just want to acknowledge Lillian, as Lillian introduced, but she didn't say anything about herself, of course. But thanks, Lillian, because she's the director of the whole thing, and I know all the work she put into it. So thank you, Lillian, so very much, and all the workers and the kids. So that was awesome. Already been a full morning. And we just want to turn to the Word of God this morning, and so let me just pray and focus on what God might want to say through His Word. So let's pray. Lord, thank You for this morning. Thank You for these voices. Great to see and hear the sounds of our children just proclaiming Your name. And what a great name it is, this wonderful theme of focusing on who You are. And by knowing You, we are not nameless. We are known by You. We can know You. We can have salvation in You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just want to mention we have a Christmas Eve service coming up this Friday. And it's 7 o'clock. Okay? So you're invited to come, obviously. Welcome to come. And it's a great service to invite your friends, your neighbors, and those who might be more open to coming to a church service at this time of the year, who don't normally come. So I encourage you to invite other people. So back in 1971, there was an English rock musician, you know him well, by the name of John Lennon. And he wrote a famous song entitled Imagine. And Lennon imagines a world where all the people live in peace. These are some of his lyrics. A world with no countries, where there is nothing to kill or die for. A world where people live as one with no possessions or need for greed or hunger, but a brotherhood of man. And the song became this instant hit, not only because of the lovely melody, and it was a lovely melody, and the very simple lyrics on the tune, but the timing. It struck a chord with people, because people were living during a very tumultuous time. So during this time, or just before this time, the controversial Vietnam War was raging, the civil rights movement, the Cold War, the assassination of John F. Kennedy, the President of the United States, and of course, the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. were all hanging like a cloud over U.S., but really the world as well. 10 years later, John Lennon himself was assassinated. And here we are. It just dawned upon me. It's 50 years after he wrote that song. And guess what? We're still living in some kind of tumultuous time, aren't we? It's almost like history repeats itself. We have new issues, but they're really old issues. Now, some of you who know the song well, you probably noticed that I actually left out some of his very famous lyrics, okay? So if you know John Lennon at all, but anyway, his opening lyrics was this. Imagine there is no heaven, it's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. And no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. Do you hear what he's saying? He imagines all the categories of faith, religion, heaven, hell, and God removed. Once those boundaries are removed, then let's have peace. So it was actually quite a radical song. Radical song. Now listen, I sympathize with John Lennon's cry for justice and for peace. Do you want peace? We all want peace. So let's sympathize with that. And let's be honest, we have witnessed corruption, immorality, hypocrisy, and lack of peace in religious circles. Let's be honest. But can you imagine accomplishing peace without God? You remove the categories of heaven and hell. It isn't easy if you try. It's impossible. So our generation is again crying out for peace and justice. And we can cry the same tears. We really can. We want peace. But true peace, true justice, can only come from God. Now, when you think about peace, what image comes to mind? Now, for me, the image was obvious. It's kind of on your screen there. I think of a river. I think of a flowing, gentle, wide river. And we know it comes down from the mountain. And what it does is it brings life to everything it touches, doesn't it? Rivers are beautiful. It brings life to the world. And so I imagine God's peace is like this. So long ago, through his prophet Isaiah, it says this, "I will extend peace to her like a river, a wealth of nations like a flooding stream." Again, Ezekiel 47:9, "Where the river flows, everything will live." So this morning I want to talk about God's peace like a river in three different directions. God's peace flowing to us, God's peace flowing within us, and then God's peace flowing from us. So, first of all, God's peace flowing to us. We heard a lot about that this morning, didn't we, already? The birth of Jesus is the story of God's flowing river to us, because God knew there was no peace on earth. We could not accomplish this. And so this is, of course, the truth of Scripture. Romans 3:10-11 says, "There is no one who is righteous. There is no one who seeks God." Right? Other parts of Scripture talk about being enemies of God. There is no one who seeks God. And Paul points out in Romans that, he says, look, even you people who think you are righteous, you cannot seek God on your own. We're all in the same boat. But just as a river flows from the mountaintop, God's peace flows down from his throne of power and glory. And the prophet said one day, as we heard this morning, "For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and finally, Prince of Peace." And the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. Amazing. Now, Isaiah, incidentally, wrote these words, or heard these words from the Lord, also during tumultuous times. It was crazy times. Israel was supposed to be a light to the nations, but during this time, they were in absolute full rebellion against God. And so you know the story of Israel. Because of that, God punished Israel, and they became exiles, went into exile, and they were ruled by many nations, living in hopelessness, living in disobedience. And yet this is when, precisely when, this promise of peace came. However, the Prince of Peace will come. God's river of peace kept on flowing in our direction. And then one day, as we heard this morning, in Luke chapter 2, of course, today in the town of David, a Savior will be born. Glory to God in the highest. And then at the end it says, "And on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." There it is again. This word of peace. And once again, in this generation, in that generation, when the shepherds heard these words from the angel, there was rampant immorality. In Israel, there was religious corruption. No one was really free under the iron grip of the Roman government. Many people lived as poor. I would say most people lived as peasants. Orphans, widows, the poor were not taken care of. But when the shepherds heard about the baby being wrapped up in swaddling clothes and born in a manger, which really is a very unlikely place to put a baby, so it was a very good sign, right? If you see this sign, you know this is the one. They were basically told that. You knew something special was going to happen through this child. And so these shepherds, when they saw the baby, they were ecstatic. I don't know if they knew how or when. They probably didn't. But they knew with the birth of this child that the sign of everlasting peace would come. And so we know the life of Jesus, don't we? Like a flowing river, he came to bring life. And each person that he touched, he brought life to them. Just like a river. Whether he healed them, whether he forgave them, whether he loved them, he touched lives. And people ask, could this be the Messiah? 3+ years of ministry. Jesus preached the inbreaking of the kingdom of God from heaven to earth. And many adored him and loved him. But more people hated him. That's part of the Christmas story we have to tell. Jesus experienced the full force of rebellion and sin on earth. John says the world did not recognize him or acknowledge him or receive him. And yet this peace, like a mighty river, was flowing among them. And then, of course, the unthinkable happened. Instead of receiving Jesus, he was murdered in the cruelest way known to man. And then we realize that this too was part of God's plan. Isaiah 53:4-5, surely he took upon us, took his pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And then hear this line. The punishment that brought us peace was on him so that we could be healed. It didn't make any sense at the time. Complete tragedy. But in God's sovereign plan, he redeemed Jesus' horrific murder to bring the world's peace. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified, which means made right with God through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. All because Jesus paid the price. And so when anyone puts their faith, genuine faith in Jesus, they die to their sin and they're completely forgiven. And then we have peace with God. We could never build a river to God. We could never climb a mountain to God. But like a peaceful flowing river, God's peace came to us through his birth, his life, his death, and resurrection. So I guess I have to ask you a question is, do you have peace with God? Do you know his peace? Do you know Jesus? Have you received him? Well, the river keeps flowing because the river of God's peace must also flow within us. When we put our trust in Jesus, he gives us his wonderful, powerful presence we call the Holy Spirit. That is the presence of God within you. But you and I have to be river dwellers. We have to learn to live by the river to be indwelt by him. It's because we're so used to building our own river, so to speak, building our own mountains to get somewhere, that we have to learn to receive the Spirit again and again. And so Jesus told the disciples, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And so after Jesus resurrected from the dead, he appeared to them. And they were in fear of the Jewish leaders. But Jesus stood with them and said to them, peace be with you. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is not just some meaningless Advent slogan. It means Jesus' presence through the Holy Spirit is always going to be with us in the worst and most terrible times. But we have to learn to be river dwellers. stake our lives in the Holy Spirit even when we go through tough times. Late in 1873, you've probably heard of the name Horatio Spafford. And his family were destined to, were planning to make a trip from the United States to Europe. And Horatio was delayed by business, and so he sent his family on ahead of him on a different ship. So Spafford and his wife and two girls, they boarded the French ocean liner. But this ship collided with an English ship on November 22nd, and the ship sank within 12 minutes, actually. So Spafford's wife was saved, but tragically, their two daughters drowned in the accident. And once Mrs. Spafford reached Wales, she cabled her husband back in the States, and all she said, because they couldn't say much in cabled messages, was saved alone. What a tragic message. Later, Spafford heard these words from his friend Dwight Moody. "It is well, the will of God is done." Now, sometime later, we are told a friend by the name of Philip Bliss wrote a tune to Spafford's text, which he expanded, which became the famous song, "It Is Well With My Soul." And so you know the lyrics, don't you? "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." And so, of course, the same thing is written by the Apostle Paul, Philippians 4:6. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." In Jesus, God's peace has come. But let God's peaceful presence keep flowing within you through prayer. We have to learn to dig deep, but God's peace is there. But finally, God's peace needs to flow from us. God's peace flows to us, within us, but it needs to keep flowing from our life to the life of another. Just as Jesus did, we have to do the same as he did. You know, when a river flows down from the mountain, it doesn't stay as one river, does it? But it separates into, you know, different arteries, different tributaries, streams, breaking out all over the place, all over the globe. In the same way, when Jesus brought peace, we are called to extend this river of peace to those around us. New streams of God's peace are created as we touch the life of another, and then another, and then another. And that life, which touched by God's peace, touches the life of another person and another person. And so, as you see, the stream keeps on building and flowing, creating new tributaries all over the place. And you reach a family member. Most people come to know Jesus through a family member. And then it's your neighbor. And then it's your coworker. And it's anyone who might come into your path that God has brought. God's river keeps flowing through Spirit-filled Christians into other people. Ephesians 2:14 says, "For he is Jesus, himself is our peace, who made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." Having found peace with God, that's the vertical right, God's peace was also meant to be extended horizontally to the world, breaking through all the barriers that might prevent it. Well, as you know, we talked about it at this beginning, but all you have to do is, you know, open the newspaper or go on your phone, and you know that today the world is still filled with all kinds of barriers. in spite of the desire for peace. We still have race issues, don't we? We still have prejudices. We still have jealousy. We still have political parties and hatred and division. But we have to remember that we are a different people as Christians. We bring the peace of Jesus. When we extend the flow of God's river through our lives, we must always focus on the peace of Jesus Christ. Because when we focus on Jesus and what he has done and who he is, it keeps minor issues where they belong. Minor issues. We focus on the main thing, a person, Jesus. When we make minor issues the major issues, this is when conflict arises. Focus on the peace of Christ, who he is and what he has done for you and what he's done for the world. From the armor of God passage, Ephesians 6:15, it says, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. This is about your witness. You know, we might be wiser as Christians not to focus on what we disagree with our culture. That's often called culture wars. We need to get off the culture wars. But focus on Jesus and to be peacemakers. When was the last time an argument showed the love of Jesus to someone? When's the last time when you won an argument, it actually helped spread the love of Christ? Focus on Jesus. When people are drawn to the love and peace of Christ in you, in time, when people meet Jesus, what we disagree with begins to resolve itself because you introduce them to Jesus. And when they know Jesus, things kind of take care of themselves. What the world needs is Jesus. So prepare your feet, prepare your minds, prepare your hearts for the gospel of peace. Be always ready to share the hope of what you have, Peter says. Focus on Jesus and the peace that he brings. Jesus said this in Matthew 5:9 profoundly. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Even when people insult you or say false things about you, he says, you are blessed, my goodness sakes. Because I think Jesus is saying, as a person of God, as a Christian, you're already secure in your peace. So consider yourself blessed even when you're insulted. Rejoice and be glad as a peacemaker, for great is your reward in heaven. Again, different language, same theme. Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the earth. Now, what is salt for? Salt is a good thing. It makes food taste awesome, right? Think of a world without salt, how boring your food would be. It's amazing. In the old days, it was a preservative. We have fridges now, but back in the old days, how did they preserve food and meat? They salted it, right? It was salted. How about a Canadian version? We good Canadians know that salt breaks down ice. Does it not? It breaks down ice and it keeps you from slipping. What a beautiful image for us Canadians. Be a salt, be the salt of peace to the world. This is what peacemakers do. Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others so they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Not because they see your winning arguments, but because they see your good deeds and your love. And so that God is glorified through your life. Focus on being a peacemaker. Focus on the peace of Christ in your relationships. So the river of God's peace was meant to flow to the ends of the earth. Glory to God in the highest, the angel sang, so that there might be peace on earth. Now, as we turn to the very last book of the Bible, in fact, the very last chapter of the Bible, this is Revelation 22, 1-2. It goes like this. The angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. It's a beautiful image of God's river of peace flowing down from his throne. Whatever it touches, there is fruit, there is life. And then finally, explicitly says, when it does that, it brings healing to the nations. God came for all people. The perfect garden was once corrupted by human rebellion, but at the vision of the end of the garden, it will be completely healed by the river of the water of life flowing from the throne of God and Jesus the Lamb. So as you think about Jesus as your Prince of Peace, think about a river. God's river of peace kept flowing to you by God's grace. And may it keep flowing within you, and may it keep flowing from out from you through your life. Let's pray. Lord, as we go into this special weekend, what we call Christmas, as we gather around with family and friends, relatives, as we celebrate, as we play games, may we be fully aware of the Prince of Peace, that we couldn't have this peace without you making the first move, you flowing down from the mountain, so to speak, and bringing us your peace through Jesus. And Lord, we confess that we need you every day. May we park ourselves by the river of life and be so filled with you, so that even when tragedy strikes, we would have your peace. And finally, may we be aware of the witness that you have called us to be peacemakers in this world. And so we thank you for your grace and your peace in Jesus. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen.